Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for joining me. Here we are, the first show of the new year, and glad that you've made your way. We have a great show for you this morning. Tim Linnefelt and the Linnefelt Sports Report. We've got our own William Wolsifer, local attorney. And, of course, we've got Dr. Scott Burkhart. So you don't want to miss any of this. Stay with me right here.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Brought to you by Truck and Car Concepts on Mahan Drive for accessories, detailing, and window tinting for your car or truck.
No. If Santa missed something on your list, get it now at Truck and Car Concepts New Year's Sale on Mahan Drive.
Stop right there.
Hi, I'm Joe Doty. If you're like me, don't just drive a truck, you want to truck it up.
Truck and Car Concepts New Year Sale, going on now. You could save hundreds of dollars on items throughout the store.
Truck it up, Tallahassee.
Save on audio systems, security systems, lights, and accessories. Save on DVD, TV packages, specially priced this week only. Or a keyless entry system this week only. Save $30. Or complete bed protection packages with bed liner, bed caps, and tailgate cap, specially priced only $2.99. $9.95 this week only.
Don't take chances. Our professional installers do it right the first time.
Truck and Car Concepts New Year's Sale going on now. 1/2 mile east of Capitol Circle Northeast, just off Weems Road. Call 656-8800. 656-8800.
We are glad you are part of the show today because we've got Dr. Scott Burkhart talking about his work as a neurological psychologist there with Tallahassee Orthopedic Clinic and all that they do in helping, especially in his area, helping those with brain injuries, concussion specifically. And in light of the fact that we're talking sports, what a tie-in there, sports injuries and concussion particularly. As we prepare for the big game, Tim Linnefelt is here in studio talking with us about the national championship and Jameis Winston and Coach Fisher and all the rest. So we'll take some time and dig in with Tim about that. We've got, as well, our first guest, Bill Wolsifer, will be with us. As you know, Bill's a local attorney, specializes in contract law and debt recovery and those kinds of things, debt collection, I should say, and has, for his part, contributed to our show periodically with speaking freely. And by doing so, we get a chance to hear from him regarding specific legal matters. He'll be with us here momentarily talking about the issue of gay rights, particularly gay marriage in Florida, and what he sees coming up here in 2014. So there you go. Here we are in the new year. I hope your New Year celebration was wonderful. If you didn't participate in the city's activities down there at Clayman Plaza, maybe you had your own private little soiree. Certainly we did the same and enjoyed the holidays very much this year. Hope your holidays were not only enjoyable, but perhaps inspiring to some degree. Certainly as we begin the year, you might have a resolution or two that you've set for yourself, or maybe you're just going to go on being the great person that you are. How about that? There's a resolution. And I'm not making any resolutions, although I will say, as we close out the third year in our show, we begin now in 2014, as of February, our fourth season. Certainly grateful for the opportunity. Hope that you enjoy the show and appreciate the feedback, by the way. If you have a topic or a guest that you'd like us to consider, you know, to email us, topics@tallahasseedocs.com. And as often the case, we like to review a little bit of what's going on in the news. This week, kind of a slow week, actually. I guess maybe that's because of the holiday, but certainly all about sports, all about FSU football, all about the fact that Coach Fisher has signed a 5-year extension on his contract, did that Tuesday. And did you hear this? On the same day, this young fellow from Miami Central High in Miami, what's his name? Dalvin Cook signed his intention to play for Florida State starting in the fall. And Tim will have some comments about that as well. That's big news because he's been rated as one of the top running backs in the country by several different sources. 24/7 Sports had him ranked as the number two running back in the country. So here he's going to be playing for Seminoles. Just when you thought it couldn't get any better. I mean, Mr. Winston has won for himself the Heisman Trophy, Florida State's perfect 13-0 season, now playing for the national championship, heavily favored in that. Come on, what else do you want in terms of Florida State football? Now, we do have a lot of other things going on around town, but you can't ignore the elephant in the room, and the fact is that Florida State football remains and probably will be for the foreseeable future a big part of our community and this particular economy. Brings in millions of dollars in revenues for the university and for the community at large. So, you know, not to be ignored, and at the same time, is a great celebration of a lot of the things that make Tallahassee a bit unique in the world. We go on trying to find our unique spot on the wall, don't we? And this last year, 2013, has been a year of a lot of controversies involving law enforcement, the Christina West incident, and city management issues that came up with the mayor's office and city manager's office. Lots of things that sort of brought some negative thinking to the foray. But at the same time, we had a lot to celebrate with things like Imagine Tallahassee and all the work that they're doing, JT and company. If we look forward through 2014, we might imagine a Tallahassee in which a lot of these entities that have worked independently of one another are looking to collaborate more effectively and efficiently. And that's one of the things that we're going to try to continue to bring to your attention as we go forward. In the week ahead, we've got some activity going on too, I should point out. By the way, this portion of the show is brought to you by Tally Connection. You know about this? You go to tallyconnection.com. This is a great service that's brought to us by FSU Credit Union. And the FSU Credit Union does a great job in maintaining this website just to keep us informed. So there's a great source for you. The COCA calendar, of course, is also one that we look at often. And if you go to either of those locations, you're going to find a listing of activities that are available to you in the week. Particularly, I noticed too, let's see, what do we got going on? Through February 23rd, Imagining La Florida, Ponce de Leon and the Quest for the Fountain of Youth. That's part of the Museum of Florida History. So there's some fun things about, and even though it's a colder and wetter time of year, you still get out there and enjoy what Tallahassee has to offer. I wanted to tell you too that we are looking forward to continuing this two-hour presentation of Tallahassee Talks through the year. And as we do so, it gives us an additional opportunity to bring more of what we enjoy about the show, particularly contributors who will come to us from time to time. I mentioned Bill Wolfsberger and Tim Linnefelt. You know that the other feature we like here is Women to Watch with Heather Thomas. Heather is the editor for Tallahassee Woman Magazine. Their December-January issue is on the newsstands now, so if you haven't had the opportunity, make sure you pick up a copy of that. Great little publication. We appreciate all the work that they are doing to keep us informed, and especially with Heather's work as the editor-in-chief over there and her special feature, Women to Watch. And then before we go to the break, let me be sure and thank Tommy Tees for their sponsorship of the show. You know, Tommy Tees is over there on Thomasville Road. It's right there in the heart of Midtown. You can't miss it. And it's so convenient because you drive in there, get your oil changed. But these guys do a lot more than just oil changes. And I think you've heard me say this, from brakes to air conditioning, tune-ups, shocks. They own the place, Steve and John. And, man, I tell you what, they are so proficient. And I had this opportunity, and I'll tell you this, here, I guess maybe 2 or 3 months ago, and it was one of those kind of situations where you know that there's need for service, but there's some other things that Steve discovered as he's working on the car, went in and fixed it, and you know what? He didn't even charge me for that little extra effort to make sure that everything was just right, and that's kind of the way they do business. They do that for everybody, and I've watched them do it there for years. If you haven't taken advantage of it, be sure you stop in and tell them I sent you, because I know they appreciate knowing that you're listening to the show. Tommy T's on Thomasville Road, right there in the heart of Midtown, just south of Whataburger and just what you're looking for in auto care.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Folks, we are pleased to have with us our very own Bill Wulsifer, local attorney and Tallahassee Talks contributor. Speaking Freely is the title of our segment with Bill, and you look good here for the new year.
I feel good, Brian.
Man, glad you're brushed here. Up and you're clean, and you know, what do they say? You know, you clean up well. I love to mess with Bill because he's such a good sport about everything, and you've brought with you a topic that for the new year that we are, as Floridians and as Tallahasseans, having to consider whether we like it or not, I suppose, and that being the whole business of gay marriage and gay rights in general. You have spent some time looking at this issue from a legal point of view, and we're going to talk further about some of your political aspirations when we get a chance here in a minute. But so there's that point. I want you to come to us with sort of the legal points here.
Sure. Thanks for the opportunity. Well, Brian, I believe public opinion has changed greatly since the Florida voters put a constitutional ban against same-sex marriage into the Florida Constitution under Article 1, Section 27, which defines marriage as a union between one man and one woman. Not only has public opinion changed, but U.S. Supreme Court precedent has changed. And has struck down Part 2 of DOMA being the Defense of Marriage Act.
Yeah.
The holding doesn't quite strike down the state's laws where same-sex marriage is banned.
Yeah.
But it does say that restricting marriage to one man and one woman denies equal protection to couples of the same sex.
Mm.
And it removed that from DOMA.
Mm.
Essentially, that U.S. Supreme Court decision, it's Windsor versus United States. That says that it will still recognize states' restriction or ban against same-sex marriage.
Yeah.
But the federal government does not.
Okay.
So I believe that the community is going to see a challenge in our state against Article 1, Section 27.
And you think that'll happen here in 2014? Or very clear?
Well, very soon. It may. There's an organization called Equality Florida. I know they're seeking a plaintiff. You need the right plaintiff to bring the case forward. And they've interviewed, I've heard they've interviewed 1,000 individuals to see if they got the right plaintiff for the case. I think it will come forward. Public opinion now seems to be about 73% in favor, which obviously was not when the vote was taken.
Yeah.
But the Supreme Court decision is prompting state actions in other states.
For example?
I think Hawaii, Utah, and Pennsylvania, there's a challenge, and the Attorney General of Pennsylvania said she's not going to defend against it.
Huh.
Because competent counsel is going to take that legal argument from the Supreme Court and make a 14th Amendment argument in the state.
How does this line up with what's happened with California? Because they've gone through not similar necessarily, but a situation in which there was that amendment that was passed, and then there was kind of a... How did all that play out?
Well, I believe what happened in California is that there was a denial, that the voters ultimately denied same-sex marriage, and that was appealed or is being appealed. I'm not sure exactly. Well, I think it was Proposition 9.
I noticed, too, yes. And I noticed, too, that in the Pasadena Tournament of Roses parade, there was a parade entry. And atop this parade entry, they had a gay couple that was being married during the parade, sort of as a obviously a declaration of the right to marry, and it was all performed during the parade. So right. It's like, if you're going to make your point, what better way to do that than, you know, the Tournament of Roses parade in national television?
We have a couple gay representatives in this state, and in Utah, they just approved same-sex marriage, which I believe I think it's the 18th state. Plus the District of Columbia, plus the federal government.
So your point is that this is upon us.
Yeah, this is a trend. I think Florida's going to see it because of this Windsor decision. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to understand this has nothing to do with a concession for same-sex couples to have a relationship. This has to do with the law, that they be treated equally. Mm-hmm. Because what we have right now for the purposes of adoption, inheritance tax, medical decision making, creditor protection, deeds to real estate, personal property ownership, it's all treated differently for three classes of people: single people, married people of the opposite sex, and married people of the same sex. And we should not have three different classes of people. Many would argue there shouldn't be two classes, that single people don't want to stay with the same protections that married people get under the law. But the division between single and married is deeply rooted in our common law. I certainly don't see that changing. But, you know, the government doesn't have to, really can't. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that. I mean, when you talk about common law and the educative function of law, a lot of people, I think, look to legal standing for that sort of affirmation, that support of their point of view. And they argue, well, you know, that's a very important function of law to guide us through these what call social issues or moral decisions, and that our laws ought to be in line with a Judeo-Christian point of view, whether it's homosexuality or marriage versus being single. You know, so the support of marriage, they would say, I mean, that's how it works. That's how we are as a nation. That's our cultural history, our Judeo-Christian orientation. And what you're saying is, well, hold on there, Baba Louie. Mm-hmm. You got to stop and think about how the law in its impartiality is designed, the American system anyway, to not recognize those peculiarities. It's intended to be fair for all. So regardless of race, ethnicity, and marital status and such, you know, there ought to be this kind of equal treatment. So that gets us into these arguments then, because one side looking at the law as the law vis-a-vis, and then those who are saying, well, but, you know, we got to teach people how they're supposed to live their lives, and that's one of the roles that law plays. So how do you resolve that when you come down to it? I mean, getting people to think in terms of law in from a different point of view, I guess.
Well, I look at it this way. I don't support same-sex marriage. I support equal treatment under the law. Mm. People need to be treated the same. Mm. In the Windsor case, it was two women who were married legally in Canada. That marriage was recognized in New York. Mm. And when one of the couple passed away, the federal government imposed a substantial inheritance tax. Mm-hmm. I think it was around $600,000 in the estate. And they claimed we're married, and there was an exemption available to them. Mm-hmm. The Supreme Court went up to the U.S. Supreme Court, agreed, and told the IRS, you need to give them the exemption. They're married.
This is here. You're simply saying, we got to get ready because we're going to have this debate here at least in 2014 and maybe further. And that's why you're so good at what you do. Speaking freely with Bill Wulzifer, local attorney and Tallahassee Talks contributor. Will you stay with us through the break? Because I want you to talk about some other news you've just announced recently.
Absolutely.
We'll keep that in surprise here for you. Stay with us. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Truck and Car Concepts has the perfect gift for your holiday shopping. With plenty of low prices to fit every budget. A complete detailing package, bumper-to-bumper cleaning, only $99.95 most cars. A drop-in bedliner package with bed caps, front cap, and tailgate cap, only $299.95. Plus, extra savings on window tinting, toolboxes, spray-on bedliners, and keyless entry systems. And gift certificates are available. Santa got his new ride at Truck and Car Concepts on Mahan Drive, across from Kraft Nissan. Call 656-8800.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We've got Bill Wulsifer in the studio this morning, who, for his part, has done a great job in contributing to our show over the many months.
And I guess we should mention Bill's official campaign website address. Here it is, www.wulsifer, W-O-H-L-S-I-F-E-R, Wulsifer, the number 4, numeral 4, AG.com. So it's Wulsifer4AG.com.
And Bill, I should say Happy New Year, by the way.
Happy New Year.
Here we are, the first show of the new year in 2014, and we've been talking a little bit about what's up ahead in Florida law. And as all of you know who are regulars with us, Bill does such a great job in contributing to the show as a Tallahassee Talks contributor, speaking freely, a feature that he brings to us periodically. And in this occasion, talking about what Florida must consider in the in relation to homosexual marriage, gay rights marriage, gay marriage, I should say, and the business of gay rights and the constitutionality of that. Then we want to parlay a bit further here and transition in talking about another declaration in which Mr. Wulsifer has registered to run for office. And he is going to be running for the first, as the first, libertarian candidate for attorney general. What is wrong with you? What happened here? This can't be. Bill Wulsifer for Florida Attorney General is the campaign title. And I'll just give him a little bit of help here because I have in front of me some of the points that Bill is bringing as a libertarian candidate, as the libertarian candidate for Florida Attorney General. He is arguing for limited government and personal freedoms. He is in favor of open carry laws regarding guns. He wants to develop the industrial cultivation of hemp and get that off of the banned substance list, which he would have the ability to do as Florida's Attorney General. And Bill, you've done a good amount of work in that area of law regarding the medical use of marijuana. And if I'm not mistaken, you had authored or co-authored a piece of legislation. Now, tell us about that. Maybe that's a good starting point.
No, I didn't co-author. I wrote it.
Yeah.
I sat down voluntarily and without pay and wrote what has become known as the Kathy Jordan Medical Cannabis
Act.
That's
right. That's right. Yeah. Kathy Jordan.
Yeah.
Who many years has suffered with LS?
ALS.
ALS.
Yeah.
Lou Gehrig's disease.
Right.
And it's apparently marijuana is the efficacy of marijuana is appropriate because it helps treat some of the symptoms and even help slow the advancement of the disease.
Yeah.
And here you've written this piece of legislation.
Yeah, and Ms. Jordan was the perfect name to put on that because she strongly believes that she finds relief and comfort from the use of medical marijuana. That legislation was filed by Senator Clemens in the Senate and Representative Edwards in the House. It was co-sponsored by four other Democrats, including your representative, Michelle mm-hmm. Rewinkle Veselinda,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But it died in committee. It didn't go very far. And in fact, during the debate, I should say during the time the bill was active, about 6 weeks into the session, the ballot initiative was launched by United for Care.
Got overshadowed.
I think to some extent it did. When I wrote that, it turned out to be 130-something pages. It's a fully comprehensive plan. It's not. It works. It has licensing, agriculture, guidance for physicians, guidance for affirmative defenses, use, quantity, interaction between the Division of Business and Professional Regulations, the Department of Health. It was fully workable. And I believe it's going to be reintroduced this year.
Okay.
I think it's going to be under the same name. I haven't seen what the legislatures are working on, but I do believe that there's going to be a, I think they're shooting for a bipartisan bill that uses that as a foundation. And it was only written for that purpose, that they could take, the legislators can take that in.
And your motivation for these sorts of topics really comes out of your rootedness in libertarian principles, would you say?
Yes and no. I mean, yes, but I was actually motivated on the medical cannabis issue when I saw it was going on in other states. And I saw scientific evidence that I rely on. And I said, Florida can do better. And it needs to be done. So I took an initiative
on it. So for you, it's a pragmatic thing. I mean, you kind of look at the sensibility of, why are we not doing this?
Right.
And then decide, I want to try to make that happen.
Exactly.
And that's the motivation for you running for office.
It is. It is, Brian. I'm bringing to the debate on Florida's legal affairs topics that have been overlooked for too long, in my opinion. Mm. The hard conversations, the items that you mentioned before in your opening, are some might think extreme views or views that should be discussed and have been ignored. Of course, those are the platform positions that get attention. A lot is being done very well by the Attorney General and by the prior Attorney General. That's not listed in that list. So I the rule of law,
sure,
consumer protection, all that comes with the libertarian candidate as well.
Yeah.
Some people misunderstand libertarians. They think they believe anything goes, and that's
well, set us straight. What, how would you summarize the libertarianism, if that can be done?
Yeah. Thanks for asking, because there's a misperception out there that libertarians are a Tea Party wing of the Republican Party.
Oh.
And a lot of people think that. And there's a basis for that, but that really does not define
libertarianism. How so? Because libertarianism encourages a lesser involvement of government in personal affairs. Is you think that's the
yes?
Connection?
You know, they really do. Republicans want limited government, but not so much.
Yeah.
Libertarians really want to see liberty in government. But I think the basis is that Ron Paul, who is a lifelong libertarian, although he's a Republican Party member, actually is looked at as the grandfather of the Tea Party.
I see.
So they associate libertarian Ron Paul and Tea Party together. But the Tea Party is, they certainly are not going to agree with libertarians on a same-sex marriage issue, on hemp and medical marijuana. Those are not right.
Okay. So if, in fact, what you're saying is that beyond some of these headline issues, there's a whole lot more to be discussed when it comes to the role of the Attorney General in Florida, and particularly what you would advocate or what you would work toward as the Attorney General. What do you think, when you say Florida is missing the boat on some of these topics? How has that happened? I mean, are we as a because it seems to me the last couple of decades, Florida has been voting more conservatively, we would say, certainly at the state level, and our current governor, I think, is an example of that.
Yeah. Does the Constitution permit this, and should the state be taking a better look at it? Should we have those hard conversations?
Yeah. Folks, that's the crux of it right there, the constitutionality of how we govern ourselves. After all, we are a nation that is founded entirely in that Constitution. And so Bill Wilsifer, for his part, taking a stand and saying, folks, it's time for me to run for Florida Attorney General. And we encourage you, Bill, in your efforts. So much success to you in your campaign. And thank you for being a contributor to our welfare and helping us better understand how the law works. That's a good thing.
Thank you, Brian. Always glad to be here.
Folks, we'll be right back. Stay with us. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Folks, there are four ways to shine in life, and Mary Maids has it all going on. Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. And that's why we rely on Mary Maids right here at our studios. And I want to tell you, when I come into the office and I find the studio fresh and clean, it's a great feeling. And the neat thing about it is they get into all the details that I probably would overlook. But I want to tell you something else. As a new customer, when you sign up for their 24 weekly or biweekly cleanings, on your first cleaning, you're going to save up to $400 because they'll spend that first cleaning doing the extra deep cleaning that you probably would do. Here's another special offer. You're going to save yourself 10% on that first call just by mentioning Tallahassee Talks when you call. Would you do that for me? Call Merry Maids this week. Here's the number, 386-2205, and tell them, I heard your ad on Tallahassee Talks, and I'm ready to receive 10% discount on my service. They'll do it for you. They're right here in Tallahassee. You can go online at merrymaids.com. So here we are on a beautiful Saturday, the first show of the new year, and we have our good buddy Tim Linnefelt. The Linnefelt Sports Report is on the air, and my friend, you are Pasadena bound, are you not?
Yeah. I will be out there
heading out for the
Monday
big
night.
Game.
Yeah, it'll be something, man.
Well, it seems appropriate. I mean, you've been slugging it out with them all year long and trudging through all of these different.
Yeah, I've been enough from Champ Sports Bowls and Music City Bowls and all that over the years that this one should
here
be.
Here you
bit,
are,
yeah.
And the fact is, this year there have been, it seems to be, more press conferences than ever.
It's
in light of Winston's debacle with all these possible charges being filed. I mean, it's like every afternoon.
It's been a much different year than I think any of us around there have experienced. Some ever, some in a long time. So.
As far as we know, anyway, that part of the story is put to rest.
Yes,
at least for now.
Yes,
and we'll focus on the fact that Florida State and Auburn will square off.
Yeah.
Monday night coming up, and that's, let's see, 8:30 on ESPN.
That's correct.
And it looks like ESPN's really taking over this whole thing where you've got
five
or six different ESPN channels you can listen to.
Yeah,
local
I saw
calls
that. I think that's kind of cool, though. You can listen to your home team's radio announcer, or you can actually just listen, which I probably would like to, just listen to the stadium. You can listen with no announcers, which is kind of interesting.
Very cool. Well, Tim, we can get into it. We're going to talk a little bit about what you expect to see happen Monday night. But then again, if we look through this last week, as of Tuesday, Coach Fisher decides to take all the mystery out of it and sign off on a 5-year contract extension. So that happened.
Yeah.
And was it the same day that this kid from Central High in Florida?
In Miami, Dalvin Cook. Yeah, it was quite an eventful New Year's Eve for Florida State. We began the day early in the morning with news that Jimbo Fisher had signed a new 5-year deal. And then later that night, they found out that Dalvin Cook, who is a high school running back from Miami, actually went to the same high school that Devontae Freeman, FSU's current running back, attended, Miami Central, had been committed to Florida, was going to go to play for the Florida Gators. And I decided sort of at the last minute that he wanted to come to FSU. And that's significant because he is an early enrollee, which means he's graduated high school a semester early and is going to enroll in a college this week.
So was he like 18?
Yeah, he'd be 18. I'm not sure exactly. He might be 17. He might be 18. Goodness. But you can do that. A handful of guys every year do that. And so it was really significant that not only is he committed, but he intends to be on campus and in classes this week. And so that's a really big deal for Florida State.
It makes you wonder how much of this was in the works and how much of that was contributive to one decision or the other.
The cogs in the recruiting machine especially are always spinning. Lots of speculation, lots of innuendo about that. But I think at the end of the day, most people who follow recruiting really closely were kind of expecting him to pick Florida State. But it was still, any time, for Florida State to get a big-time prospect like that, especially from a rival, is a big deal for them.
Well, in fact, with him coming on board, what does that do to the backfield there for Florida State?
Well, we still have some things to figure out. They have three juniors on the current roster who will be playing in the game Monday night, and they all three of them have decisions to make whether or not they want to come back for their senior years, or whether or not they want to forego that and move straight to the NFL. Mm-hmm. Each could, each might, each has a reason not to. So my guess is that maybe a couple will return, and maybe one or two decide to go pro. So it'll be interesting. But one thing that Jimbo Fisher has always shown during his time here, even before he was the head coach as the offensive coordinator, he is very happy having multiple running backs at his disposal. He doesn't, you know, need just the one guy to carry it, you know, 25, 30 times a game. He's really happy having three guys get 8 to 10 carries, and he'll do it that way. So if you're a running back at FSU, you know, if you can play, you'll get on the field.
You're going to get some time.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much to talk about here.
Yeah.
Golly. So with Monday night's game at hand, the national championship, and playing Auburn, of course, everybody's a buzz with you know, what happened with Alabama Auburn, and what a fluke that was. I mean, you got even Nick Saban saying, "I've never seen a game end that way. I've never seen a loss happen that way, or a game won that way."
Yeah
unprecedented in that respect. But do you expect such happenings here with Florida State Auburn? I don't. I'm just curious as to your perspective there.
Well, Florida State's kicker is more than likely capable of making a 56-yarder, so they shouldn't have to worry too much about that. But it will be really, really interesting. I think, you know, Auburn's strength is in its running game. Florida State has one of the better defenses. I think they're ranked number 14 in the nation in rushing defense. And one of the interesting things that I've seen a lot from some Auburn fans, you know, we have quite a few Auburn fans around Tallahassee, and certainly more than maybe a lot of people realized this time 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But, you know, they point to some of Florida State's early season struggles against the run, particularly against Boston College, where they allowed 200 rushing yards.
But are they that same team?
That's the thing, that they're not. Not only are they not, you know, philosophically or symbolically, I guess is the word I was looking for, not the same team, but they actually made changes.
Yeah.
They made personnel changes. They moved players around. They changed what they were doing. And since then, since that game, has been 9 games since that Boston College game. I looked this up recently, and they've allowed an average, I think, 101 rushing yards per game, which is very, very good. The first team defense has not allowed a rushing touchdown all year. So, you know, Florida State has had some success defending the run. Have they defended something quite like what Auburn's going to do? No. Auburn, you know, they run a lot of misdirection. Their offense is kind of based on running the ball with deception, kind of disguising who has the ball.
Yeah, not exactly a trick play, but certainly they're going to try to.
Well, not in the fact that they do it just about, you know, every play or so.
Right.
So it'll be really interesting to see, you know, what Florida State does there. I think the key for them is to not freak out if Auburn, you know, breaks a 15 or 20 or 25-yard run.
Right.
You got to look at that as almost like a passing play, because that's just what their offense does.
If
Florida State can say, you know, okay, Auburn's going to get some yards, and they're probably going to score some points. But you know, just keep it in front of you, because it's really easy when an opposing team is running the ball on you to kind of panic, say, what are we doing wrong? And then you start maybe to press, and then that's, you know, you get out of position. And so if Florida State can just keep its head on straight, I think it'll be okay. And then on the flip side, I think that, you know, we were talking about, you know, question about can Florida State stop Auburn's offense. I'm reasonably certain that Auburn can't stop Florida State's offense.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about the worst pass defense in the Southeastern Conference, one of the bottom tier defenses in just about every category nationally, going up against a Heisman Trophy quarterback, three receivers who are closing in on 1,000 yards, and a running back who's closing in on 1,000 yards. So, you know, in kind of looking at it, you know, you look, you know, how many points does each team reasonably have to hope to score to expect to win?
Right.
And I think Florida State's number is lower than Auburn's.
It just seems to me that Florida State matured considerably. And maybe it was the Clemson game. I'm not sure. But and maybe it was some of the stuff that Winston was going through. I mean, all of the legal issues.
They really haven't had a whole lot on the field adversity this year. They've been blowing everybody out. You know, their biggest deficit. I don't think they've even have trailed since that Boston College game. They got down 17-3, and you're thinking, oh boy, here they go again. Well, you know, they ended up winning that game by 2 touchdowns, and that was their closest win of the season. They haven't really been challenged on the field, and then, you know, if you're an Auburn fan, you know, you're clinging to the idea of, you know, Florida State hasn't been, you know, battle tested. They haven't been in the close, you know, a close fourth quarter yet. It just hasn't happened. And so, you know, if it does come to that on Monday night, you know, if Florida State is, you know, holding a 3-point lead or trailing by 3 with 5-6 minutes to go, you know, Jameis Winston hasn't had to deal with that situation yet. I'm not saying that he can't, but he hasn't done it.
A perfect season, the Heisman Trophy winner now heading to the BCS National Championship, Florida State football. Talking with our good buddy Tim Linnefelt here on an expanded edition of the Linnefelt Sports Report. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Stay with me.
Whidden Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Whidden Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Whidden Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Whidden Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Whidden's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Whidden Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Whidden's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Whidden Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Whidden is known for taking care of business. Whidden Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
So here we are talking about the big game, Florida State Auburn squaring off Monday night, 8:30 on ESPN, mm-hmm. and all other ESPN children's
pretty much
will be doing it. And so if you don't know anything about football, and you really don't care about football, do yourself a favor. Watch at least the first quarter of the game so that you can at least show up at the cocktail parties and go, oh, yeah.
You'll at least understand what all the yelling's about a few hours later.
Winston, yeah, of course. Because my golly, this is the point. I mean, Tallahassee is a sports town. It's a football town. It's Florida State football. You know, you got to deal with the fact that it brings in millions of dollars in revenues, all the way from the hot dog stands, right up to the hotels and the universities themselves. Everybody, when Florida State's winning, everybody wins. And here we have Tim Linnefelt talking about it. Tim, you think about not only how these two teams will match up on the field, but some of those implications, how this goes forward. And here we've got Coach Fisher having signed this 5-year extension on his contract, and you got this star running back from Miami Central who signs on the same day after having declared he was going to go to U of F. I mean, wow.
Yeah, it kind of.
What does 2014 look like?
Well, it kind of has an avalanche effect. And I don't want to say that that's regardless of the outcome of the game, because certainly things will be better if Florida State wins. But just in terms of the momentum of having the
astounding
program. It does help that, Miami obviously has struggled the other night against Louisville. They don't really look like they're on the up and up. Florida just went 4-8 this year. There's so many talented football players in the state of Florida, and right now Florida State is the bell cow, so to speak. You saw it in the mid-2000s when Florida State struggled and Florida won two national titles.
Yep.
These things tend to go in cycles, but right now it seems like Florida State's sort of at the top of the Ferris wheel, they're striking while the iron's hot. So it is really interesting. I still am interested. You mentioned Jimbo Fisher's new contract. I still am interested to see. Texas still doesn't have a head coach.
Right.
He's still, despite signing that contract, people in Texas still think that Texas might make a run at him.
Away. Yeah.
And so I don't necessarily think that Jimbo was even necessarily interested or that he would go, but it still wouldn't surprise me if they called him just to make sure, and he still has some sort of decision to make. Now, maybe that's a really easy decision, but I don't know that anybody truly knows at this point except for him.
Well, the details of that contract extension were not made public.
Not yet.
But it was suggested that it puts him in as one of the top 10 collegiate coaches.
In
the country.
Yeah, it'll be top 10 highest paid. I think. Yeah. I think what's been reported is that the deal is for around $4.1 million per year for 5 years.
Well, and he's got roots here. His family, whole kids.
Kids
First Fund. Yeah. I mean, all of that is tied to this community.
Sure.
And people are saying, boy, Texas might be at a woo. I don't know. I think he's a little deeper guy than that.
I would be surprised, and nothing else, from a public perception standpoint, to have signed a contract 1 week and then leave the next week. Again, stranger things have happened, but you'd kind of certainly make yourself a heel.
He strikes me as a person who really cares about when you listen to Winston talk about the relationship he has with Coach Fisher. I mean, this is a guy who really does care, and I think in that way, he emulates some of those things that Coach Bowden brought to Florida State football, in that there was this sense of dynasty and the sense of legacy, and that means something. Yeah. That carries forward, and man, he's on a roll. Why would he not want that to continue?
Well, and you mentioned him. I think the biggest thing is Jameis Winston's going to be here next year. Somebody's going to be coaching him.
Those guys love each other.
You want to give that guy to somebody else. Yep. Think that at the end of the day, he's going to want to be.
Let's talk about Winston for a minute, because you mentioned this too. His relationship with the team, his relationship with the public. It's hard to imagine a guy who is this talented more affable than he is. I mean, he's just one of these people. Have you had opportunity to have any kind of one-on-one with him during your work as a sports reporter?
A little bit. And you know, when it came, it wasn't really during the football season. It was more during baseball season.
Interesting.
When he was playing on the baseball team last spring.
Yeah.
And at that point, people around town kind of knew who he was, but he certainly wasn't, Jameis Winston's superstar athlete. And so then, the circus around him was a little bit smaller, and you could kind of sit, Florida State, before practices, allow you in the dugout and sit and chat with some guys, and so you sort of got a feel for who he was and kind of the image that he presents, and then also just through talking through teammates, to his teammates both on the baseball team and the football team, because I can tell you he's as popular on the baseball team as he is on the football team.
Interesting.
The sort of famous thing that he did, before this football season started was, going out in the spring game, football game, and sort of lighting things up the way he did, going to the locker room, changing into his baseball uniform, trotting over there to Dick Howser Stadium and playing with his teammates on the baseball team. And those guys see that. The thing about, I think, being on a team is they want to know that, you're committed, especially if you're, hyped up as this hotshot athlete.
Right.
If he was going on the baseball team and just sort of not giving it his all, or just sort of, doing things halfway, they're not going to stand for that. The coaches and teammates aren't going to stand for that. So, for them to carry the level of respect that they do for him really speaks volumes to
me. What did you think of his remarks when he accepted the Heisman Trophy?
I thought it was nice. I saw some people kind of said that he came off maybe not as nice as he would, not as sharp as he would have liked. But, guys, he's 19 years old. He's excited. Have you ever been excited before?
Coach Fisher tearing up.
Yeah, but it's you speak when you're excited like that. I mean, you speak with emotion, and sometimes maybe you're not as eloquent as you'd like to be. But you're a guy who 2 years ago was in high school, who's just been presented with quite literally the highest honor that an individual football player can be awarded. I don't know that there's an equivalent to the Heisman Trophy in the NFL.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, you're expecting him to be Franklin Roosevelt up there. I don't know, what people wanted out of him. But I really like, in this age of media and everything, everything is so kind of guarded, so controlled, so measured.
Yeah.
For somebody to get up in a public setting like that and actually speak what they actually feel, and say what they're actually thinking, and not hide their emotions, I thought it was great.
He does let it go, and then there was all the criticism following the championship game. This Espen reporter and her pursuing him a bit on the question of the investigation. Once again, he seems to keep himself close to the vest on most things. He's not the type of person who's going to get out there and showboat with anybody. He seems to really just kind of speak from the gut or from the hip as it occurs. So there we go, folks. We're talking about Florida State football here with Tim Linnefelt, our very own contributor, the Linnefelt Sports Report, with this special edition. As we look forward to the big game coming up Monday night, 8:30 ESPN. We are going to take a bit more time if you're willing to stay through the break, Mr.
Sure.
Linnefelt. I have a sense that some folks would like to know a little bit more about your perspective on the outcome of the game.
Sure.
Folks, you're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny here every Saturday morning, right here, bright and early, 9 o'clock. And in our expanded two-hour presentation. Now we're on from 9 until 11 here at 93.3 FM Freedom 93 in Tallahassee. Stay with me.
Witten Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Witten Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Witten Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Witten's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Witten is known for taking care of business. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Tim Linnefeld in studio with us. The Linnefeld Sports Report is a regular feature of this fine radio show, and such a fine young man, Tim Linnefeld, who for his part gets out there and mucks it around with keep track of all these athletes and coaches and events and all that. And but by the way, he's an able writer. If you've never taken the time, you should do so. Osceola is the publication where you'll find a lot of his work, and does such a great job there.
Why, thank you.
Incidentally, not to embarrass you, but if you don't know this, Osceola is publishing a special edition of Osceola here in January as a commemorative issue, in which they're going to be saluting Florida State football and its achievements, this perfect season, the Heisman Trophy winner, famous Jameis Winston, and of course playing for the national championship. All of that in one beautiful publication, by the way, in limited print. So it'll be a kind of a keepsake, a collector's item, I think. I think you're slated to do maybe 8 or even 10,000 copies, but my goodness, folks, you want to get yourself one of these and keep it for your grandkids to look at, because how many times does that happen when, you know, the guy who wins the Heisman has a perfect season and then plays for the national championship?
It's more rare than you'd think, and then certainly coming through and winning it, which obviously they haven't done yet. But it doesn't happen as often as I think people might expect.
It is a rarity, and of course Osceola for its part is doing a good job, I think, in saluting all that. So keep your eye open for Osceola, or you can get in touch with us here at the show, and we'll point you in the right direction, and you can get your own copy of that. Tim, you look at the outcome for the game, and you know, there's some who say, oh man, it'll be a close game, and I don't know. I think that Auburn hasn't played a team like this. I'd be interested in your perspective. How do you see it?
I think Auburn is getting a lot of credit for beating Alabama, and they should, because Alabama is really hard to beat, and Auburn did it. But looking at that game, you know, we get caught up in the excitement of the ending of that game and the field goal return for a touchdown and all that. And I don't mean to take away from any of that, because it happened and it counts. But how often can you count on that? You know, how often can you count on an ending like they had against Georgia, where they were beaten, throw a crazy Hail Mary, the ball gets tipped up straight in the air, and the guy bobbles it and catches it for a touchdown? Again, those plays count, and they're, you know, wonderful. Those are the kind of plays that we love about sports, you know, those kind of, you know, crazy, did you see that? But again, can you go into a national championship game, you know, with that in your back pocket, thinking, oh, we can just, if the chips are down, we can just pull out one of these crazy plays? Yeah, maybe it happens. Maybe
it's tough
it
to live there, isn't it? Well, some have even argued that Auburn didn't win the game. Alabama lost the game, and they lost it in the first half.
And maybe, you know, and look, if you know what that game showed is that if Florida State makes the kind of mistakes that Alabama made and some of the miscues that Alabama made, then yeah, Auburn can beat them. But you know, what are we counting on here? You know what I mean? What's the most likely to happen?
Here's the other thing that I've heard said that I thought was a compelling thought. And that is that while you look at Alabama or Clemson or any of the top-ranked teams, even Baylor, and they lost this week to UCF.
Didn't look very good doing it either.
You know, they looked terrible. Yeah. And UCF's quarterback is this unheralded What's his name?
Blake Bortles.
Blake Bortles.
You'll know his name a little
more. Whose girlfriend has like 6 million hits on her Google. He gets like 100,000 or something.
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, what an unknown. But anyway, so with all of these teams out there playing their hearts out, the observation has been, yeah, but Florida State is playing at a level that these other teams are not. You're looking at Alabama, a fantastic, very disciplined, very talented collegiate football team. Mm-hmm. When you look at Florida State, you're looking at something else. You're looking at people who are playing at what might be a professional level, or at least with a professional attitude about what they're doing.
Or certainly have the potential for, you know, that professional level, you know, in the next few years in their careers. You know, me personally, I really wanted to see Florida State play Alabama. Okay. I want to see them play in any setting, just because I think that they are really close to each other. They're really built the same way. You know, Jimbo Fisher and Alabama's head coach Nick Saban, you know, Fisher's kind of cut from that cloth, served as an assistant with Nick Saban at LSU in the early 2000s. I just wanted to see him play, just to see who would win, just see who had better players. Yeah. I'm excited to see FSU play Auburn, just because, for different reasons. You know, I think Alabama and Florida State would have been sort of the two semis meeting head on the interstate, whereas I think Florida State and Auburn, it's maybe a contrast of style, certainly a contrast of offensive styles, and certainly a difference in philosophy that both teams have been really successful with. And so I like to see that too, and see, you know, who sort of is doing it the right way, you know. And it'll be really interesting to see what happens on Monday night. I got to be honest, I do like Florida State's chances. I've said that on our website all week this week, and it, much to the chagrin of some Auburn fans who maybe think that I'm not giving them enough credit. And you know, I don't know how to say that I think Florida State is really good without you know coming off like I'm biased. But
well, the line is where?
I think it's still 8.5.
Yeah.
So, you know, Las Vegas seems to think that Florida State's pretty good too.
Yep.
And as they always say, those hotels don't build themselves.
No, they don't. And the fact is that even if you think that, I mean, personally, I don't think it's going to be a close game at all. I'm giving Florida State by at least 3 touchdowns.
Okay.
I mean, that's what I think. I think they're going to win by at least 20 points.
Okay.
And I think that I got a hunch. I think Florida State has something to prove. Mm-hmm. I think Jameis Winston has something to prove. They're done. They got you know, nothing else to hold back. I think they're going to unleash, and I think that Auburn is going to find themselves gasping for breath at the end of it all. That's where I'm at.
I think you certainly could be right. Again, it goes back to what we talked about earlier. You know, how is Florida State going to stop Auburn? Well, we'll see. But how is Auburn going to stop Florida State? And, you know, that pass defense is not very good. The run defense is a little better, but still not very good. You know, I don't know, but between Jameis Winston and then his receiving, you know, quartet, if you will, of Kelvin Benjamin, Kenny Shaw, Rashad Green, and Nick O'Leary, that's a lot to contend with.
It's a lot of beef.
And nobody's been able to do it so far.
Nope.
So.
Looking ahead, 2014 season for Florida State football, what does that look like, the schedule?
Making my head spin.
I know.
Let me get through 2013 and maybe get it. No. It'll be a really interesting season. Yeah. I think the home schedule in 2014 is going to be really good. Notre Dame comes to Tallahassee. That'll always be fun.
Yep.
It'll be their first visit here, and I think, 12 years will be since Notre Dame's played in Tallahassee.
Right.
Clemson will be here. Florida will be here. So a good year to get your season tickets. And then they also go, you know, Louisville, University of Louisville, which we recently saw shellac Miami in the Russell Athletic Bowl last week, is now joining the ACC in place of Maryland.
Yep.
And Florida State will help christen their inaugural season in the ACC with a visit up to Louisville.
And it's a whole new situation with BCS going away.
Yeah. We didn't get to that. With the playoffs, the 4-team playoff that we still don't really quite know how it's going to work.
It's going to work, yeah.
But it should work pretty well. It would be really interesting this, you know, just looking at, you know, what if it were to happen in this year, what would it look like? And if they went based on just in the BCS rankings, 1 versus 4, 2 versus 3, you would have had Florida State play Alabama in the semifinal, and Auburn play Michigan State in a semifinal, and the winner of those games would play for a national title. Now, how great would that be? Congratulations, Florida State! You went 13-0. You had the best season in a long, long time. Heisman Trophy winning quarterback, and your reward is you get to play Alabama, who's only in this spot because right. of, you know, maybe an unlikely loss. So congratulations. Good luck with that. So so maybe Florida State is happy to land that playoff one more year. But it'll be really interesting. And that's something that I'll look forward to discussing with you, because I have a lot of thoughts on that. That system and kind of what it means for the sporting world at large and in college football. It's a different playing field. It'll be interesting to see what it does to college football fans.
Folks, what a great show we have here today. Tim Linnefelt, our own sports reporter, the Linnefelt Sports Report, a special expanded edition on the eve of the big game. Florida State, Auburn scoring off Monday night, ESPN 8:30 for the national championship. Tim Linnefelt, a great show today. Thank you for being with us.
Anytime, Brian. Thank you.
Happy New Year.
You too.
Truck and Car Concepts has the perfect gift for your holiday shopping, with plenty of low prices to fit every budget. A complete detailing package, bumper-to-bumper cleaning, only $99.95 most cars. A drop-in bed liner package with bed caps, front cap, and tailgate cap, only $299.95. Plus, extra savings on window tinting, toolboxes, spray-on bed liners, and keyless entry systems. And gift certificates are available. Santa got his new ride at Truck and Car Concepts on Mahan Drive, across from Kraft Nissan. Call 656-8800.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. You are in tune with the best radio show on this station at this time. How about that? See, I mean, I claim to be great, but then I modify my claims so that I still sound like I'm being modest. Folks, we're glad you're with us. Glad that you've tuned in, because we have in studio with us Dr. Scott Burkhart, who is a rather new arrival. How are you, sir? Nice to have you with us.
Good, thank you.
A new arrival as of August here, this just a few months back, decides to make his home in Tallahassee. He is there at the Tallahassee Orthopedic Clinic, correct?
That's correct.
I did that right. Okay, two for two. Dr. Scott Burkhart, you are practicing orthopedic. Tell us about your practice.
Yeah, so I actually not a physician. My background is in neuropsychology.
Okay.
And what I did is I specialized for 2 years during a fellowship experience in primarily just treating concussion.
I see.
And so Tallahassee Orthopedic Clinic, actually, in an effort to expand their care and their treatment model and really their ability to take care of all injuries orthopedic, went out and sought out and brought me down from Pittsburgh and came down. And now I'm just setting up and
having a blast,
going.
Huh?
Absolutely.
And you chose to be here, albeit Tallahassee Orthopedic did engage you in this recruitment, but you made a choice, and that makes people like Scott or JT Burnett happy, because you're helping us in our cause.
That's
to
right.
envision what Tallahassee can be.
Exactly.
And you're among that creative class that we all are eagerly trying to attract. What have you found so far? Now, it's only been August, but...
So we missed a little bit of the heat. I grew up in a small town, came from a town of about 12,000 people in Oregon, and had some other job offers that were more in metropolitan and bigger centers, and really came down here, fell in love with kind of the culture, the lifestyle, the size of the town. It has a very small town feel for being about 300,000 people or whatever the population is. Yeah, great fit. And we had some friends down here and established some good relationships pretty quickly.
One of whom is Dr. Van Landingham over there at Florida State University. Mm-hmm. Tell us about your relationship with him.
So, when you say concussion in a small town like Tallahassee, you are going to hit everybody who's associated with it.
Yep.
And so in my coming back and forth between Pittsburgh and really feeling out where I wanted to be, Jake and I met very quickly and learned of his research and his efforts. And I think that everything that he's doing is only going to help further the field. You know, I'm sure you've talked to him and have had interactions with him, but there is no FDA approved medication for concussion. Mm-hmm. And anything that can be done in that regard to help this field, I think, is going to be extremely beneficial.
And for those who don't know, we're talking about Jake Van Landingham over there at Florida State University, who could be arguably said to be one of the poster children for Dr. Eric Barron's entrepreneurial university efforts.
Yes.
In as much as here's an academician and a researcher who develops this drug treatment program for concussion victims and or patients. And at that point, has to figure out, how do I bring this to market?
Right.
And so then you've got things like the Florida Institute that have stepped up, Jamie Coombs, who, you know, tried mm-hmm. to help out and jump in as the, I guess he's operating as the CEO, at least for now.
Yeah, I'm not sure
how that works out,
what the up-to-date inner workings
yep,
are, but
yep.
yeah.
But basically,
I know he was or is or helping out in some
yeah, regard. And so the notion being that now you've got this revolutionary treatment modality, and thanks to Dr. Van Lanningham's efforts, but because he's part of Florida State University, well, then they got, you know, some skin in the game.
Mm-hmm.
How do you work all that out? Well, you know, this is not a guy who goes out there building companies.
Right.
So then you got Florida Institute over there that says, well, we know how to do that. And mm-hmm. Jamie steps up and makes that happen. And you've had the opportunity then to get to know him
mm-hmm.
and to work with him in some of this effort. Is it as revolutionary as everybody seems to think it is?
It well, so in terms of how brain injuries are classically treated,
yeah.
we know that everything that's been taken and worked with concussion
yeah.
has come from what worked in more severe, moderate brain injuries.
Yep.
So your people that are going into comas after car accidents and terrible things like that. Well, progesterone itself was being used in that population for quite some time.
I see.
And so what Jake did is try to take out the negative side effects of that of that medication.
I see.
Put it so it's more positive and less limiting in terms of some of the negative things that can happen if you just take progesterone.
See. Okay.
And so what he's done is he's actually created a new, almost an antimer of progesterone.
Isn't that something?
Which is going yeah. to then in turn hopefully be used for concussion.
Well, and our discussion comes at a, I think, an appropriate time when we're celebrating Florida State football.
Mm-hmm.
We're on the eve of the big national championship, and it's certainly in football that we see a number of these injuries. You mentioned car accidents and other such things, but maybe because of the notoriety, you have some of these tragic headlines about NFL players
mm-hmm.
that are out for life or who have died because of concussion. And so... you see what I did there? I'm trying to tie these
I like it.
These two
I like
things
it.
Together. It's a bit of a stretch.
It's good. It's
and I'm
very right.
limited in my
I'm
capabilities here, but you know, you work with what you got.
No.
So then we have Tallahassee Orthopedic that is trying to take a stand there. Now, Tallahassee Orthopedic Clinic, for its part, has been around a while. I think mid-70s?
Yeah, I think 30 plus years,
yeah.
somewhere in that range. I should know my history better.
Well, me too, but right. then, you know, it's my show, so who cares? So our listeners understand.
That's
he doesn't
fine.
Know anything.
It's fine.
So he just makes this up as he goes along. But then again, think about how many times we have seen athletes come through the halls there at TOC over the years and have been treated well,
mm-hmm.
it seems to me. And now we've got – and your practice then is, you said, neuropsychology. Tell,
correct.
Tell me more about that. How
so
does that work?
When I went through graduate school for psychology,
I see.
4-year, 5-year program, if you count the internship process. And yeah. then at the end of that, you have an opportunity to go and specialize. And so what I did is I did a 2-year fellowship just specializing in concussion up at Pittsburgh. I trained at the University of Pittsburgh, which is synonymous as the place mm-hmm. for concussion treatment. We regularly, weekly would see NFL, NHL, Major League Baseball players, NASCAR guys. Mm-hmm. So we got a lot of notoriety as being a place that is very well known for the treatment of concussion.
And what do you do in that that part of it? How does a neuropsychologist get involved?
So neuropsychology got tied to concussion because of cognitive testing.
I see.
And there's always been that component to it.
I see.
And we know that kids are now getting baseline tests and they're getting the cognitive testing before the season starts so that we have a comparison when they do get injured, right? Kind of this
and
whole...
that's the hard part, isn't it, with concussion? Because
mm-hmm.
you just don't know how much injury or how much...
How severe and how close they've come
yeah.
back to what their original
how
is.
How that's impacted mm-hmm. their performance, right?
And that's why we say, I mean, the best comparison post-injury is yourself.
I see.
So if you have that benchmark and you performed well or
right.
tried your hardest, then
right.
we know that that serves as a realistic comparison of you.
Well, and the significance of that goes further than into not just performing or performance issues, but even life-threatening conditions
mm-hmm.
where somebody, and I think of like a prize fighter who's
right.
just repeated injuries and eventually develops what can be life-threening. We've had plenty of examples of that. We'll talk more about that when we come back after the break. Folks, you're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny here on a Saturday morning, 93.3 FM, our home station. here in our beloved town, and we love the fact that you've made it possible for us to be here all these many months. We're now celebrating, just coming into the end of our third year. So we begin our season four here in February. That's kind of neat. And by the way, if you've missed any of the shows, you can always go to our website. TallahasseeTalks.com is the place to go. And we have everything archived for you. So if you've missed one of the shows, you can listen to it online. If you would like to suggest a topic or a guest, you can email us, topics@TallahasseeTalks.com. Simple enough. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Folks, there are four ways to shine in life, and Merry Maids has it all going on. Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. And that's why we rely on Merry Maids right here at our studios. And I want to tell you, when I come into the office and I find the studio fresh and clean, it's a great feeling. And the neat thing about it is they get into all the details that I probably would overlook. But I want to tell you something else. As a new customer, when you sign up for their 24 weekly or biweekly cleanings, on your first cleaning, you're going to save up to $400 because they'll spend that first cleaning doing the extra, extra deep cleaning that you probably would do. Here's another special offer. You're going to save yourself 10% on that first call just by mentioning Tallahassee Talks when you call. Would you do that for me? Call Merry Maids this week. Here's the number, 386-2205, and tell them, I heard your ad on Tallahassee Talks, and I'm ready to receive 10% discount on my service. They'll do it for you. They're right here in Tallahassee. You can go online at merrymaids.com. We are with Dr. Scott Burkhart, who is a neuropsychologist with Tallahassee Orthopedic Clinic, talking about concussion, particularly in relation to sports injuries, which has been not exclusive, but it's certainly been a big part of what Tallahassee Orthopedic Clinic has been involved with over the many years, about 30 years or so here in Tallahassee, treating a lot of folks. And so, you know, Dr. Burkhart, thank you for being with us. It seems to me, since we're on the eve of the big game, an appropriate topic would be sports injuries. For your part, dealing in this business of concussion, when you think of, when we talked a little bit about Van Lanningham's work, when you think about the advancements in this business of treating concussion, has it been that sort of, has it been your observation that there's a sort of unawareness as to the severity or the significance of concussion among the general public?
I think that it has, it's more of a pendulum effect. I think that what we used to look at concussions is, how many fingers am I holding up and smelling salts?
Yeah.
And it used to not be a big deal at all. Then we started getting more and more information about the fact that these mild brain injuries can be problematic.
Yeah.
And the pendulum has swung all the way over to now we have parents saying they're not going to let their kids play football.
Right, right.
Kurt Warner famously said he's not going to let his kids play football.
Right.
And so the truth in my mind, as a clinician who sees this and treats it every day, is that the truth is probably somewhere in the middle.
Mm.
You know, mm-hmm. we've learned enough about the injury to know that there are treatable interventions that we can use to expedite recovery and make safe return to play decisions, mm-hmm. which is what I do.
Mm-hmm.
But we also know that there are lines and points in this injury that shouldn't be crossed, and when people should be retired and told to, you know, unfortunately, run cross country instead of play football.
Yeah.
And it takes a good clinician to make that decision.
Hmm.
And it takes someone with the training and awareness to be able to understand concussion. I mean, I tell my patients all the time, you know you, but I know concussion. So
right,
this is going to meet in the
right.
middle here, and we're going to be able to make good decisions.
And you work as a team, too. You're not running solo over there. You've got a bunch
Correct.
Of folks that are specialized in this area.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've got folks who work in physical therapy for me. Something that can be really beneficial with concussion is medications often, and we've found that there are medications that can be extremely beneficial.
And you mentioned that earlier with Dr. Van Lanningham's
Correct.
Work with
yeah.
progesterone. Yeah.
And I think that, you know, I work really closely. We've also developed a team, and I've been fortunate enough to be a part of what Florida State has done with football. And I think that a lot of credit goes out to Florida State football and their sports medicine staff for saying that concussions are something that we want to be better at, and they brought me on, and I've, you know, I'm a neuropsychologist. I don't belong anywhere near a football sideline, but they've had me there, and I'm going out to California because they value the fact that concussion is something which is getting a lot of attention. And
Well, and apparently, too, there seems to me to be you mentioned this pendulum, there seems to be an effort to try to be a bit more deliberate about the seriousness of concussion. So, as you mentioned earlier, in the old days, well, how many fingers am I holding up?
Right.
It's a bit more complicated than that. By definition, concussion is what?
Concussion is a mild brain injury. It's basically the brain moves inside the skull like an egg yolk moves inside of an eggshell. And what we know is that these are often not things that show up on CT or MRI, but they're cellular changes. And we know that brain cells get affected in terms of certain pathways which cause our symptoms. We know some of these things are decreased glucose or energy production, decreased oxygen or blood flow. And our symptoms directly come post-concussion from those changes on a cellular level. Now, what we've been able to do is that through understanding where the symptoms come from, through cognitive testing, through some of the vestibular and ocular screening or identification.
So you're looking at how we are. Tell us about those testings.
So what the cognitive testing is, a computer-based test. We basically monitor reaction time, memory, attention, concentration. The clinical questions, it's really important with concussion to understand. It's not, do you have a headache, yes or no? That's where we miss a lot of this with athletes. You know, your kid gets hit on a Friday night playing high school football. Concussion is not, do you have a headache, yes or no? Concussion is, do you have a headache that's pressure-based? Or is it more throbbing? Or is it more like an ice pick? I mean, there's 30 types of headaches.
And over time, then, you're watching how those...
how the symptoms progress, how the individual responds to some of the things that we do. You know, traditionally, we used to tell patients who would get head injuries, especially mild head injuries like this, that go take 2 weeks and you'll get better.
Can you be can you be a victim of concussion and not necessarily black out?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. You can get a concussion.
So just because a kid got hit in the head and he didn't black out, doesn't mean he didn't have a concussion.
Yeah, you can get a concussion without losing consciousness.
Yeah.
You know, oftentimes I see worst recoveries in the people who don't lose consciousness. So, and there was a study that came out that actually showed that on-field predictive in terms of recovery time windows, loss of consciousness was not a factor that predicted recovery time.
Would you recommend that for anybody in a contact sport like football, that they have themselves tested periodically because they may not have experienced what they might otherwise consider concussive
symptoms? Well, we do the baselines every 2 years. My stance on concussion, and this is an area where I've come to Tallahassee because I'm passionate about concussion education in this area. And one of the things that I think is really a valuable piece is for people to understand that concussions are not the boogeyman. It's not this thing where your kid gets one and they are done with football for life. If a kid gets a concussion at 8 in Pop Warner football and you make the decision that that kid's never going to play football again on the premise that he's had one injury, to me, I kind of look at that and I say, let's slow down a little bit, because I look at this injury as it's no different than a rolled ankle, a knee. If treated correctly, you can make a decision and return people back. I think some of these chronic cases, and we've talked about this a little bit, but the cases where we see these athletes who have had these long-term problems, you're stacking concussion on top of concussion on top of concussion, and you're never letting the brain fully heal.
Yeah.
We know repetitive blows are bad. I mean, look at Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, right.
I mean, the evidence for people who don't get head injuries treated is everywhere. What I'm saying is treat it.
And in that treatment modality, you mentioned the efficacy of certain medication, progesterone, and we talked about Van Lanningham's work there. There are other things that you're doing with someone who is a patient. Tell us more about the treatment modality.
Yeah, we take an active approach. I mean, we believe that, and I think that one of the benefits of this injury being housed under orthopedics is that we take a proactive approach and we say physical therapy, exercise, if done correctly.
Yeah.
You know, restrictions in terms of what you do in your environment, whether that's academically or occupationally. And we take a proactive and we educate our patients too. I mean, that's a tremendous amount of it. Once you understand where your symptoms are coming from, you can make lifestyle changes and behavioral changes to be able to adapt. But it's an injury that has come a long way from simply just being go rest for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. We now know that there are things that we can do to expedite recovery, whether that's work-related or car accidents or what have you. I mean, that's what we're here for.
Well, glad to know it, and glad that you've made time for us this morning. Thanks for being a part of the show.
Happy to. Thank you. Thanks
Dr.
for having me.
Dr. Scott Burkhart, who is with Tallahassee Orthopedic Clinic, our guest this morning. We are happy that you've tuned in and glad that you've made it possible for us to continue. We're always excited to have folks like Dr. Burkhart tell us more about what's going on in the world of medicine and what's going on here in Tallahassee. Folks, I hope you've enjoyed today's show. We're looking forward to having you back again next week. We'll be bright and early right here, 9 o'clock, 93.3 FM, Freedom 93 in Tallahassee. Looking for you as we talk more about what it is that Tallahassee is talking about. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.
Witten Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Witten Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Witten Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Witten's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Witten is known for taking care of business. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.